Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie App, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the preface on page Roman numeral XI, paragraph, the third paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Susan O, and reading the text are Rachel W, Tina S, and Lisa B. The reference numbers for Tuesday, October 31, are 10607 and 10608. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tenzin. I will now ask Susan O. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, this is Susan, recovered, not cured in Connecticut, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal inventory depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Susan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page Roman numeral XI, 12, 11, paragraph 3. And we will be reading those four paragraphs to the end of the preface and commenting on all four paragraphs. And I will ask Rachel W. to begin reading.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your service. This is Rachel W., recovered compulsive overeater calling from New York. The second edition added the appendices, the 12 traditions, and the directions for getting in touch with AA, but the chief change was in the second section of personal stories, which was expanded to reflect the fellowship's growth. Bill's story, Dr. Bob's nightmare, and one other personal history from the first edition were retained intact. Three were edited, and one of these was retitled. New versions of two stories were written with new titles, 30 completely new stories were added, and the story section was divided into three parts under the same headings that are used now. In the third edition, part one, Pioneers of AA, was left unchanged. 9 of the stories in part two, They Stopped in Time, were carried over from the second edition. 8 new stories were added. In part three, they lost nearly all. 8 stories were retained. 5 new ones were added. This fourth edition includes the 12 concepts to world service and revises the three sections of personal stories as follows. 1 new story has been added to part one, and 2 that originally appeared in part three have been repositioned there. 6 stories have been deleted. 6 of the stories in part two have been carried over. 11 new ones have been added and 11 taken out. Part three now includes 12 new stories. 8 were removed in addition to the 2 that were transferred to part one. All changes made over the years in the Big Book, AA members' fond nickname for this volume, have had the same purpose, to represent the current membership of Alcoholics Anonymous more accurately and thereby to reach more alcoholics. If you have a drinking problem, we hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories and think, yes, that happened to me, or more important, yes, I felt like that, or most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. So again, I'm Rachel W., and you know, to an outsider reading this, I'm sure they'd find it quite boring. But for me, I think I'm incredibly inspired, and I think this is the most inspiring preface because it's reassuring me that my story matters. And, you know, it's like I realize, like, you're telling me that all those dark moments, you know, those binges with the Costco cookies, I was 265 pounds, binging on video, binging on emotion. You know, the food is just a symptom, you know, but buying bulk chocolate chip cookies for my family, one for them and one for me, you know, and doing other crazy food behaviors that I really was not even proud of. And I never even imagined that one day I would even telling you I ate chocolate chip cookies from Costco. I, you know, all these dark moments when I lean into the steps and in leaning into this fellowship, I become transformed. And suddenly all of those dark moments become useful. They become transformed and it gives purpose and meaning to the entire experience. And for me, there's also a little hidden gem over here where it says that, why are we changing these personal stories? It says to reflect the fellowship's growth. You know, that's why I have my story. The reason I have my story is because I leaned into this fellowship. I trusted you. I saw the light in your eyes. I saw not only that you had lost weight, but I saw you transformed. I saw something happen. Something was different. Not just that you were no longer binging, but something else, the change had been affected. And it's really, you know, coming into the place of recognizing, acknowledging that, you know, the only way I can become useful, the only way that those, you know, dark moments can be useful is if I lean into the fellowship, if I lean into the steps. And you know, for me, that's the greatest message of all. And I'm thinking also about the stories that were deleted. Well, what about those? Well, you know what? Some stories, I think all of our stories matter, and some stories are, maybe they mattered for at one point, and are they were heard on one level at one point and then used in a different way, or, you know, the way they repositioned the stories because they wanted the most effect, you know, the most outreach. They wanted to reach the most people by rearranging all the stories. So if you're out there and you're listening to this meeting as I once did, I once listened to this meeting with donut crumbs on my chin, you know, in a relapse, thinking, wow, you know, they all sound really good, but it's not for me. You know, if you're out there and you binge last night or if you're binging right now, I want to tell you every bite of your binge matters. And what we do is we lean into this fellowship. We find our higher power. We create, you know, for me, I'll speak for myself. I recreated a new relationship. I understood I'm not God. But there is one, there is something else out there. And I leaned into that steps, leaning into this fellowship, brought me to the other side where my story could actually be useful. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Rachel. Okay, who would like to share on the four paragraphs in the preface? Jackie,
this is Larry K.
Jackie B. R. Larry K., Matt M., Nessa R.
Jackie B.
I got you, Jackie.
Okay.
Harlan G.
Anyone else? Harlan G. Okay, that's great. So we have Jackie B., Larry K., Matt M., Nessa R., and Harlan G. So please, Jackie.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jackie B. from the Bronx. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Hi. Okay, thank you everyone for your service and for being at this meeting this morning. It's funny. I love she was right on the money when it says, I used to think that these prefaces were boring. You know, why should we listen to these things? But you know what? I had a new appreciation this morning for the fact that it's true. People change, stories change. The basic premise and heart of the steps are still the same. That has not changed. But life changes, people change, I change. I mean, I've been in this program 25 years, and I hear the Big Book today in a new pair of eyes and ears. And the only thing I can give is my experience, strength, and hope that this program works. Even when, you know, things annoy me in the morning and I got to do a 10-step, and when people, I feel like people don't listen to me, or you know, I've got issues, it's okay. I can have issues today and tell you that I'm still eating my abstinent food. I still got to this meeting on time. I still am a compulsive overeater in recovery today. That is the miracle of this program. That, you know what, God willing, the next 25 years, I'll still be telling you the same thing and still being grateful for this program, this fellowship, and that I can be human and that I have a guidebook that will tell me that, you know what, no matter how the era and our world changes around us, I still see my higher power working in each and every one of us. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Okay, Larry K., it's your turn, followed by Matt M.
Good morning, Katie.
Thanks for your service. This is Larry Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. The, you know, I want to focus in on what we're reading here, which says, you know, I'll zero in on, but the chief change was in the selection of the personal stories, which was expanded to reflect the fellowship's growth. You know, see, I needed to identify in, and the stories helped me to identify in. They did back then, they still do today, rather than identify out. And the one consistent thing I see is that you know, just about all these people, you know, just like us, they got here on a losing streak of some kind. To one extent or another, they got here on a losing streak. And through this program of action that we study, the instructions in the text, they were restored to sanity. So there was a process of they got here defeated. I don't care if they were vomiting and 90 pounds or they were 700 pounds, if they were gutter drunks or, you know, or some other type of drunk, if they had the twofold nature of this illness, you know, the reality is they went through a process of a God-centered ego transformation, you know, rocketed by the, you know, the working of these steps, brought forth through the actions embedded in these steps. And, you know, by the grace of their creator, they're no longer, people like us, we're no longer binging, stealing, purging, yelling, lying, fighting, all the ings, right? Hiding, manipulating, hating, on and on, right? That's what this process has done for them through these stories I had to identify in. And in alignment with the God of their understanding, they're capable of loving and tolerating with courage, gratitude, serving others, quite a deal. You know, and while me, you know, I thought, perhaps you did too, of high intellect, right? I thought so. And I thought my problem was poor genetic predispositions and piles of pizza. That was my problem, and poor parenting. And it was never any of those. It was merely a disconnect from my higher power. Born of my own free will, I wanted to be the director of my destiny rather than simply a follower of the true author, which was always my higher power. So I need to identify with these stories. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Larry. Okay, Madam, you're up, followed by Nessa R.
Yes, can you hear me, Katie?
I can.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M. Compulsive Overeater from New Jersey. Yeah, it's amazing how free-forward thinking the people who wrote the Big Book are, because look how much different and change has happened to the stories over the years. They change. They even reflect myself being a gay man. There's a story called Tightrope that they added recently for the fourth edition, which gives me some perspective. I was able to identify in, which I need, because sometimes the language in the Big Book, the first time I see much more pages, can be a little bit antiquated for me, a little dusty. And I'm really seeing the Big Book with new eyes now, all the new different things I'm learning from reading the preface and the forewords and the doctor's opinion, et cetera. And it's amazing the appendices that they added from the day. So the traditions they added the religious view, the medical view. It's great. And how to contact AA was also added, which was really cool. You can, if you want to get some more help or get a sponsor or find out about these, you could do that. And I'm glad they added Dr. Bob's Nightmare in the first edition, because you need to know his story. He's the other founder of AA, and to hear his story is amazing too. It's a really great story. If you want to read it, I'd recommend it. And I'm glad they had the partners of AA stayed mostly left unchanged, and they added some couple more new stories to it. And I'm really glad they added the 12 concepts for world service, because service actually helps you with your program. It helps me to stay clean, and it gives me a purpose, a sense of belonging that can be helpful to others, even though I'm not recovered yet. And it's amazing all the changes made over the years. You know, it does represent the current membership of AA and OA as well. It definitely helps me to understand and identify in, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Matt. Okay, Nessa R., you're up, followed by Harlan G.
Good morning, Vision for You. My name is Nessa R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I love the preface and the forewords. I read them with my sponsees as well. And there's a simple reason, because as a newcomer, I came into the rooms beaten, discouraged, hopeless, you know, knowing that nothing had worked for me, nothing had helped me. And I must be honest, I have to admit, that I didn't think this would work for me either. You know, I lost all hope. I came in because I had no other ideas. And, you know, when I read the preface and the forewords, it tells me that this program works, because it tells me that, number one, this is a basic text. It has never been changed. Something that doesn't work, it's changed. You know, like we see on the market, numerous products, new and improved and all that. So this has never been renewed nor improved, because it works just fine the way it is. Then it's the growth. You know, they tell me, you know, in the preface that we just read, the growth of the fellowship. And that's why, you know, the stories have been expanded, have been changed, some added, some deleted. It tells me how many printings there have been of the big book, in how many languages, in how many countries, and it keeps growing, and the membership numbers keep growing and growing and growing. Something that doesn't work doesn't grow, you know, like the fad diets, you know, like they come and go, and, you know, a few years later, even some months later, nobody knows what they are, you know, books that sold by the millions and bestsellers in the New York Times book list. Where are they now? Nobody knows about them. They're not even in libraries anymore. But this book endures. And so this tells me this works. As a newcomer, this fills me with hope. And this is what I find in the preface and the forewords, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Harlan, it's your turn.
Thank you, Katie. And Katie, thank you for your service this morning, for making this magnificent meeting possible. And I also want to thank the rest of Team Wednesday as well. I'm Harlan G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Scottsdale, Arizona. We've been talking about the stories and how they've been changed, and that's great, and I love that too. But I want to leave that to the side for a minute, because Bill Wilson had a sudden and spectacular spiritual experience in December of 1934 in his room at the town's hospital, and he said all of his life he felt the white light coming into the room, and it filled the room, and he felt the presence of God, and he never drank again. And I love that story, and I'm certainly grateful every day of my life that he had it. Bill's my hero. But for most people like me, God comes to us very slowly. God comes to us through hard work. God did not show himself to me in the form of a burning bush. He showed himself to me gradually over time. On page 567 of the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and in every printing since the second printing of the first edition, we have the appendix that we're going to be reading, not now, but we're going to be reading it soon in the next few months, Spiritual Experience, in which they explain, because they were inundated with questions like I just posed, what is the difference between the spiritual experience you're describing and the lack of that which I'm having? What am I doing wrong? And they wrote Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, to explain that for some people, this God consciousness will come over time through hard work. And that whether you have a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience, you are fine. And they also changed the wording of the 12th step. It used to read, having had a spiritual experience. Now it reads, having had a spiritual awakening. But also, and I don't have a lot of time left here, on page 570 and 569 of the fourth edition, you have Dr. Thiebaud, who wrote the paper in 1949, where the American Psychiatric Association, American Medical Association, accepted alcoholism as an illness, which was a huge breakthrough, which Silkworth said, okay, now you can put my name in the book, and they did in 1950. He died. Silkworth died in 51, but he remains our great medical benefactor. But on page 570, very quickly, Dr. Bauer, Alcoholics Anonymous are no crusader, not a temperance society. We know that they must never drink. They help others with similar problems. In this atmosphere, the alcoholic often overcomes his excessive concentration upon himself. That's one of the keys to our program. Learning to depend upon a higher power and absorb himself in his work with other alcoholics, he remains sober day by day. The days add up into weeks, the weeks into months and years. This is critical information. With that, I'll pass. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Harlan. Okay, if you just joined us, we're reading the preface. We started on page 11, XI, and read through, but starting at the second edition, reading through the end of the preface. Who else would like to share?
Lisa B.
Lisa B. Press
Marta?
Star 1 to unmute. Marta?
Yes.
Okay.
Melissa C.
Sigrid F.
Rob G.
Sigrid F. Okay, who
Sarah
else?
G.
Rob? Is that a
Sarah
Rob?
G.
And Sarah G. Okay. I thought I heard a Rob, so let's go with Lisa B., Marta, Melissa C., Sigrid F., I think Rob, and Sarah G. Go ahead, please, Lisa B.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, what jumps out for me in this reading is the suggestions that Bill is suggesting. You know, he says that we hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories. And he's giving me an idea of how to identify in. Yes, you know, that happened to me. Or more important, I have felt that way. And, you know, that says to me, getting out of my head, going into my heart, that's been so vital for me. And then I like where he says, our most important, yes, I believe that this program can work for me too. So what that speaks to me is that my illness loves me to stay in negativity, despair, and hopelessness. It wants me to stay stuck, and it wants me to stay in a quagmire of, even in, I was going to almost use the word neutrality, but neutrality is in one of our promises, thinking that this is not such a big deal, like what I'm doing is okay, I'm not that bad, and that is such a deadly place for me. I'm so grateful that through this work and through my step one experience, and even my step zero experience, I began to get a sense of urgency that this is not going anywhere, this is only going to get worse, and I love the stories. There's one story that really spoke to me, The Keys of the Kingdom, and they talk about how her self-pity, her smoldering self-pity, became a fair-sized bonfire. I really identify in with that. There's so many things in the stories that I love. When I can't sleep at night, a lot of times I'll read a story. I'll ask my higher power, show me a story to read. And, you know, the whole thing with the stories is it's all about their spiritual experience and how it came about. That's the whole purpose of this book. Is to get that vital spiritual experience. It needs to be a dramatic, revolutionary experience. It can't just be in a subtle experience. It can be slow over time, but it needs to be dramatic enough, you know. And that's what I found with me going through the steps in this big book way of doing it has been so powerful for me. But I love how he's telling me to get out of my head, go into my feelings, but also more important, have belief, have faith. And just like what we talked about yesterday, you know, there is hope. Every time a meeting comes together, there's hope for me because I see step two happening, that you guys are being restored to sanity. And then I believe, yes, this can happen for me too if I'm willing to do what those who have gone before me, like these people have done, and do the same thing. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, Marta, you're up, followed by Melissa C.
Hi, thank you. This is Marta, compulsive overeater, and I like that it talks about expanding the stories to reflect the membership. My hope is that there are more people of color introduced into the program. I know myself, actually this past Friday, there was a Halloween event at a face-to-face meeting, and it was actually a racial incident, and so I worked with my higher power. So for now, I'm going to do mostly phone meetings with one face-to-face meeting, but I'm just not feeling safe at the face-to-face meetings anymore. And so I'm kind of shaken to my core, because you think the rooms are the safe place to be. So, you know, I'm not a victim. I spoke up, and unfortunately things were not handled. But it's just a matter of, you know, what this membership looks like. And hopefully the stories will reflect more of that as the membership perhaps grows to be more inclusive. That's my hope. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm just grateful for phone meetings. So with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Marta. And Melissa C., you're up, followed by Sigrid F.
Hi, good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, what I hear here is really explicit directions for how to tell my story, you know, that there's a purpose. It's not just, you know, it's not just like a drunkalogue. It's not just like, let me share all my really disgusting binge stories with you, and we can kind of laugh about it. It's, you know, it's so that, yeah, this happened. This is how I felt, and there's hope. You know, and that's really, I think, our purpose. I know for me, like my purpose when I call in and share something on the meeting, I'm a recovered person. I can talk from those three points. These things happened. You know, this is how I felt, and yeah, there's hope. You know, and so like I tell my story today, and you know, it's like, where here's Halloween, right? It's the day after Halloween, and we're reading, like, the preface. And for me, like, the preface, you know, the beginning. For me, every Halloween was the beginning of my incredible binge. You know, like, I could somehow muscle up enough determination and grit to keep away from the food until it was, like, candy central. And that's my crack cocaine all around me. I had no ability to not eat it. And once I ate that, it was, you know, hey, Thanksgiving and then Christmas and, you know, and my birthday and New Year's. And, you know, and so, yeah, why do I even bother saying that this morning? Because chances are, if you're calling in, that happened to you, you know, and then I could say, yeah, how did I feel? I felt hopeless, miserable, sick, you know, like a prisoner. And guess what? There's hope. You know, on the cusp of the Thanksgiving, you know, today is the day after Halloween. Candy doesn't even exist in my, you know, wildest thoughts anymore. And it's all around me, and I don't care, you know. So that's our purpose. We share our story. This is how what happened. This is how I felt. And there's hope. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa. Okay, Sigrid F., you're up, followed by Rob.
Good morning, everybody. Sigrid F., recovered, definitely not cured, here in South Florida. And I really enjoy listening to people who, it feels like, understand poetry when they read these words and then come back with some just amazing insights. So I'm going to be a little bit more obvious, which is how my brain works, and focus on the last few lines of the last paragraph. And the word that jumps out at me is pause. I have to find God in the pause. And whether it's through the stories or through any other words in this book, you know, yes, that happened to me, or more important, I felt like that, or most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. Hope, having hope that I will continue one day at a time to follow the program and to shoulder to shoulder with all of you one day at a time, continue to be recovered. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sigrid. Okay, I think I heard a Rob. I don't know the initial of your last name. Is there a Rob who'd like to share? Okay, I must have been hearing things. Okay, Sarah, Rob G, are you there? Star one?
Hello.
Oh, good. There you are, Rob G. Okay.
Hi, Rob G, compulsive eater in Chicago. Yeah, I like this preface, this little selection here. I had notes on it from at some point when I read it before, and I identify with those notes still. I just wrote clarity, intention, and Animal Farm, you know, and what I like about it is the clarity, you know, is they really break down, hey, we've changed it, and this is exactly how we change things. You know, we moved this here, we got rid of this, we got rid of this. For me, that lays out clarity, and I immediately thought of the book Animal Farm, where, if you're familiar with the book, things changed overnight. You would just wake up in the morning and things would be different. And, you know, I've experienced that in my life, and it never really helped my life when I would wake up and, you know, one day and it's like, all right, now we're doing this, or now it's this, or here's the new rules. You know, this paragraph here where they're like, hey, this is what happened. We moved this around and did this, you know, resonates with me. And then the intention at the end, where it's just like, hey, you know, we're sharing this stuff with the intention that, hey, maybe you'll think this is for you. You know, it kind of gives like a source of like why it's not like sideshow carnality to kind of, you know, tell these stories. It's like these stories are being shared with the intention, you know, that I may identify, which I did. You know, I'd spent my life being told, you gotta, you this, you that, you this, you that, you should, you this. And this program was one of the first programs where it was like people weren't telling me you and you should from a pulpit or a podium or whatever, but rather saying, this happened to me. I did this. I did that. I got through it. Here's how I did it. That carries tremendous weight and depth with me, you know, and having clarity about it carries tremendous weight and depth with me that I'm very grateful for, that really saved my life. And I couldn't say, if these elements were not here, I don't know if I would have bought it. It just would have been another, you know, self-help book, you know, if not for testimony where people are saying, I did this, this happened to me. And that really resonates with me. And I'm grateful, to have a chance to share that. So thanks for listening. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, Sarah G, it's your turn. Star one to unmute, please. Okay.
This is Sarah G from Nashville, Tennessee, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. And what I wanted to say is pretty much what others have said. To some extent, but I love the last, I think it's the last sentence. If you have a drinking problem, we hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories and think, yes, that happened to me, or more important, yes, I felt like that, or most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. So being bulimic, that was my main way of acting out with food. Being bulimic, I didn't think anybody else was like that. I thought this was my my personal deep, dark secret. And when I came in the very first time, I came with a friend, and it was a speaker meeting, and someone was telling their story, and they happened to be bulimic. And I just really recognized myself in that story. I thought, I am not alone in this. Which I always thought before I was alone, and that someone else has done this or felt this or been through this like I have. The stories were really important to me to start out with, and I love the way the big book has transpired over time. First of all, the stories of the the early pioneers, and then as we go through, they get more and more current, And in the fourth edition, there are a lot more young people's stories in there. And I love that. I love that. And then, of course, the stories that come out of Overeaters Anonymous are very helpful as well. But we're talking about the big book. I also do believe that, you know, however that came about, and I guess the original big book did not have many stories. It was mainly the text part. But however that came about, they must have thought that there was something important in the storytelling. And for me, it was very important. It helped me to come out of my crazy self. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Who else would like to share on this section in the preface?
Charles H.
Hi, this is Zakiya from Long Island, New York.
Okay, Zakiya. And what's the initial of your last name?
Zakiya J.
J. Okay, great. Anyone else? Okay, I'll take a turn.
Leah M.
And Leah M. Okay, go ahead, please, Charles H., followed by Zakiya J.
Thank you very much, Katie F for your service. Excuse me, Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, just, like, I just had a thought, like, if you desperate, Boo Boo Kitty could sponsor you and you will recover. I just wanted to say that. And, you know, as part of the reading this morning, they were saying they took out this, put in that. Yeah, that's some good surgery there, and that was necessary. Whatever they did, it's still working, and I'm so grateful for it. This whole big book is about helping somebody else. You know, everywhere you can go, anywhere in the book, you know, and I like what it says. I believe it's on page 28 or 29, and there's a solution. The story section tells how each teller found their higher power. You know, it tells you about you need some disaster. You need some. You know, because that's what it was like. What happened? Well, they got a spiritual awakening. And what it's like now? They're carrying this message in this book. So they had to, I guess they had to change it up for the times. Thank God they didn't change the basic text, right? And just a side note to people, you are recovered. You don't got to say you're not cured, because we have that information on page 85. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Charles. Zakiya J., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Zakiya. Thank you so much for your service. I love how they talk about the membership begin to change and, you know, delete a couple of stories, rename them, and brought in new stories to reflect the fellowship. I remember hearing at an AA convention that, you know, don't dismiss these newcomers, because these These newcomers coming in now have experiences that you may never have to experience. So it's beautiful to hear, make room for new people so that they can find their higher power. And you know, oh, my God, through these beautiful 12 steps, I remember that. So it's so beautiful that the book, this book, you know, constantly is edited so it adds other new stories, not the first part stories. So also it makes room like for people like me, you know, so I can, you know, study these steps as I've been doing for a long time and even get a closer connection, a closer personal relationship with the God of my understanding. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Zakiya. Okay, Leah M., you're up.
Thank you, Katie. Yes, that happened to me, or more important, yes, I felt like that, or most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. I mean, essentially, the Big Book was written, you know, as a 12-step call to reach and teach alcoholics, you know, throughout the, you know, the nation and then the world, and it's done just that. It represents, you know, the collected voice, heart, and conscience of those in whom the problem had been solved. And it's not a book of theory or personal philosophy or personal opinion. And it's certainly not a juicy novel, you know, that you can find in your local Barnes & Noble. These are stories that have been collected about people who pressed into the same 12-step process and were put back together the way God intended them to be. And it is a message of hope and possibility, and, you know, it is attractive. It's one way that attracts the still suffering, alcoholic and compulsive overeater, and now we have live meetings, of course, that attract the still suffering alcoholic and compulsive overeater. Again, all based on the same solution, that you can come in broken, you can come in, after the disease has crushed you to the point of surrender, and these 12 steps, no matter where, there's no borders in AA, there's no borders in Overeaters Anonymous. The spiritual chain reaction that grew from Ebby and Bill to Dr. Bob has now stretched to countless alcoholics in cultures as diverse as imaginable, and that's certainly true now in Overeaters Anonymous, and certainly represented here on the line such as this, you know, where I can sponsor someone from Greece, Australia, and Israel on the same day. I mean, that is a remarkable representation of the attraction, no matter where we come from, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're white, whether we're black, whatever our economic status, our religion, education, etc. This program works. There's no, special credentials that we have here. We haven't been appointed. We are compulsive overeaters who followed the instructions that's written in this text, and we have been put back together, and we are now happy with being abstinent, and we are usefully whole. And if that can happen to me, it can happen to you. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Leah. I'll take a turn here. My name is Katie F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And yes, I like this last line too. Yes, I believe this program can work for me too. And I came into OA the very first time when I was 14 years old in 1975. And it seemed like the most ridiculous thing in the world. So I left to do my own research and development out there. And I came back when I was 21. And I did not hear a message that carried the depth and weight that I could believe in. I kept trying to make it work, but it took 6 more years of research and relapse in these rooms before I found a program that had depth and weight that I could really see that it could work for me. I've never had to look back. I've never had to look back since that moment when I said okay instead of yes, but, and I said okay, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, and I'll read this book that I thought I knew all about it. I had practically memorized chapter 5, the how it works reading, and I just thought that I was too far gone, and yet I saw a glimmer of hope in the people that I met, and then I started to believe that it could work for me too. But I had to be badly mangled before I could get there, because prior to that, I always had an excuse and I always had a reason why I couldn't quite do what you were doing. It just wasn't going to fit into my schedule. And, I had to be badly beaten to the point where I thought my way is not working And I do believe that something else can work for me. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, I stuck around for the miracle, that we have no requirements in these rooms that if you don't get it, you know, then we refund your misery and you can't come back. You know, we can always come back. You can always start over. And it's a new day. And I'm just so grateful that we studied this book that gives me direction for my life, whatever's going on. And with that, I'll pass. And we have time for two more people who would like to share.
Roz G.
H. Roz G. and someone H.
Ruth.
And Ruth H. Okay. Roz, I think you said G. I didn't write
G, that. Yes. Roz Godan. Okay. Good morning. My name is Roz Godan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And in my early days of program, before I knew too much about the big book, I came into OA because I wanted to lose weight and I was miserable, blah, blah, blah. Didn't know that I needed to have a spiritual experience. I didn't know that I had to take some steps that, you know, and that were going to cure me. I mean, inside and out. The words aren't coming to me, but the step work. And the very first sponsor, I said, well, read, she said to me, read two big book, two store, ugh, it's four in the morning for me here. Read two pages of the big book a day. And I did that. It meant nothing to me. So I started to thumb through the stories in the back. And those stories were comforting. They were funny. They were heartfelt. And I'm very grateful that at least I had the stories to read, and that at least I had some identification somewhere. I'm very glad that, you know, later on, I got into the primary purpose group, which we really studied the book, and I started to understand. And even though I had some relapses here and there, I finally got it. And so. I just wanted to say that, yes, it worked for me. It's nice to wake up the morning after Halloween, not hungover from candy, and that I was able to pass out candy, take candy to my classroom, not want it at all, and it worked for me. I'm awake. I don't feel like crap from eating too much candy. And I'll just end with kind of this cute, this little, like, poetic thought that I have, is that for Halloween, we get a pumpkin, and I'm like that pumpkin, and I cut it open, and I get all the gross stuff, you know, that's all that yucky stuff that's inside the pumpkin, and I take it out, and that's what God did to me. He took all the yucky stuff, and he took it out, and then in a pumpkin, I put a light inside of it, and it shines bright, and God put the light of God. I have the light of God inside of me, the sunshine of the Spirit, and I hopefully radiate kindness, joy, happiness, peace, a normal sized body, and I can share it with others. And I'm grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Okay, Ruth H., you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Katie. Sorry, it took me a minute to unmute there. I know that's all that I need. Again, this is Ruth H., so gratefully recovered in Connecticut. You know, what spoke to me, I love that last sentence that so many have eloquently commented on, but I also have to comment on the beginning sentence of that paragraph. Because when I came into the rooms, everyone kept trying to hand me this little blue book. They were calling it the big book. I saw it titled Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew I didn't have a problem with alcohol. I only wanted food. You know, alcohol had no hold over me. And I liked how it states in that first sentence that the big book became the fond nickname of this volume from AA members. And I was just curious when and where that nickname came about. But it's become to mean have such significance for me. because it is, even though it's a tiny little book, it has such a big meaning in my life, and it's connected me with a God that is bigger than I could have ever understood. I'm heading off shortly to Mass. It's the holy day of obligation for my faith, and that God is so big that he's reunited me in my church as well, and he understands and accepts and forgives my shortcomings. It's been a little bit trying of a week with more 10 steps than I like to admit to, but even in my selfishness, even in my dishonesty, my God forgives all and continues to bless me with abstinence one day at a time. And I'm just so grateful that this program and all of you have helped me reconnect to him. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ruth. And thank you to everyone who has shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, November 1st, 2017, is 10,610. That's 10610. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tina S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Katie. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater and anorexic in Florida. Great meeting. Thanks. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly listen to what we do. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.